Midwest Southwest. I'm Savella Mann. It's been a busy summer for climate change activists in Kalamazoo. They're eager to mobilize amid warnings that the world faces catastrophe if it doesn't drastically cut carbon emissions, and soon. For Kalamazoo Central High School teacher Josh Gottlieb and rising senior Chloe Carlson, that means bringing the movement to school, starting September 20th on a Global Day of Action. An event at Central is one of several being planned for Kalamazoo. But it doesn't end on September 20th. Gottlieb and Carlson explained their plans for climate-focused Fridays all year in the style of 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg. First, Gottlieb and Carlson talk about when they each decided they had to do something.
Right at the end of last school year, I heard a report on NPR, an interview with David Wallace Wells, who wrote The Uninhabitable Earth. And we've always known, for decades, I've known about climate change and global warming. But I knew it intellectually. I knew it in my head. I didn't feel it in my body viscerally until I heard that interview and had a new sense of the urgency of climate change, that my children, that my students, when they were my age, were going to be dealing with massive consequences. And so when faced with interesting problems, I usually go to my students. And so the next day I went in and asked my students what we should do about it.
Yeah, I think with me, like, it was a little before that. I think when a bunch of these natural disasters, like, kept popping up with, like, all the hurricanes that kept hitting, like, the southern region and stuff like that, I started to, like, just start questioning, like, why is this all happening? Like, why is all this destruction happening? And, like, from that stemmed, like, I started doing more research and, like, I started to fear, like, what is my future going to look like? Is it going to be like this, or is it, like, are they going to be dramatically worse consequences? And from that, like, I just started to start talking about it and, like, trying to advocate, like this is actually happening. This is going to be our future. We need to do something about it.
What are your plans for bringing that movement to Central this year?
Well, from discussions and planning just at the tail end of last year, we sort of came up with a three-pronged approach. So there's the ground-up approach, supporting Greta Thunberg and her fantastic work that she's doing. Here's a plug for the Nobel Peace Prize for Greta. So we do need a massive civil disobedience campaign. We need to just refuse to go on with business as usual. And so we are organizing events with a number of local partners, including Western Michigan University, K College, KVCC, Citizens Climate Lobby, Extinction Rebellion, Sunrise Movement, and several others. And we are going to have a year-long series of Friday events to support Greta's movement. Basically, what the student said is we want to deliver the United States to Greta. So that's one prong of the approach.
When you say you want to deliver the U.S. to Greta, in what sense?
We in the United States are underrepresented in her movement, both the adults and the young people, especially relative to the level of responsibility that we bear for the climate emergency.
Of our emissions in the United States.
Because of our emissions, because of the history, because of our consumption habits to this day. And because of our political situation. So we want to massively increase participation, both of young people and the adults in the United States.
So, like, to go off, like, what we're doing internally in the school, too, like, besides just, like, the group we have that's committed to, like, that we would call climate change action and stuff like that, we have, like, many other groups, like our NHS, our National Honor Society, and our Link crew. And throughout the year, we're planning on incorporating different events and just, like, different practices to, like, not only working towards change, but, like, educating our own students.
And what is the Link crew, if I can just jump in?
Link crew is, like, a bunch of upperclassmen, so junior and seniors, and we all get a partner, and then we get assigned a group of freshmen, and we kind of mentor them through their freshman year to, like, help them adjust to, like, what high school is. But on the times where we have side work, we really want to incorporate, like, just teaching the student body about what climate change is. Because you can say climate change to so many kids in this school, and obviously they know what it is, but they don't know how, like, greatly it's going to affect them, and they don't really know, like, the science behind it and stuff. They just are kind of like, oh, yeah, that's a thing, but there are, like, so many other, like, people, adults in the U.S., and they're just like, but it will get figured out. It's not something we need to deal with.
And you're hoping to push them beyond that point.
Kind of like push a sense of urgency and just like tell them this is going to be the greatest thing that affects your future. So you should be working towards it right now.
I have the image of an onion and the layers of an onion moving outward. So you start with yourself and educating yourself. And then we will be moving outwards to the school community and then the broader community, city, state, federal, and then global. We have a number of concrete goals, and that sort of leads into that second tier of our strategy. There's a beautiful map put out by the Sierra Club of cities that have pledged to go 100% renewable, and we want to put Kalamazoo on that map. There's another fantastic organization called RE100, started by IKEA and a number of other multinational businesses. And it's made up, right now there are 191 businesses that have pledged at some point in the relatively near future to source all of their energy needs renewably. And we want to add local businesses to that list. So we'll be able to measure our level of success, our efficacy.
What sort of local businesses?
Well, we're thinking we've got to set our sights high. So we're thinking Stryker and Pfizer. Neither of them is on the list yet. And so we will, throughout this year, be setting up meetings to go meet with them and see if we can help facilitate. It's not an adversarial relationship. We want to help educate. And then the students, as experts, can go in and help those businesses figure out what they need to do.
When I heard that you, Josh, were working on plans for Fridays for Future climate strikes at Central, I was picturing you with a sign out in front of the school, but I gather that's not what you've got planned for Fridays.
So was I
initially.
I think
that was the original idea.
Right. I went down at the end of last year, and I spoke to our principal, Valerie Bogan, and I said, Mrs. Bogan, I think next year I'm not going to be in the building on Fridays. I'm going to be demonstrating against inaction on climate change in support of Greta Thunberg. And I explained the situation and the consequences of climate change. And I said, I see this sort of working in one of four ways. What I'd really like to happen is that I'm out in front of the building and my students come to me outside and participate in the demonstration. And that's the day that they give their presentations on the physics of climate change. I'm a physics teacher. And the science of climate change and how that plays with public policy. And my second choice would be maybe I just call in sick on Fridays. Third possibility is maybe you guys just don't pay me for Fridays. And the fourth possibility is you say this isn't going to work at all and I lose my job. And immediately, to her fantastic eternal credit, she said, oh, you're not going to lose your job and you need to get paid for your work. Let's make that first possibility work. And can we explore making this a green school, and this will be fantastic and interdisciplinary, and we can engage other teachers. And so we've been given a great gift of being able to do this work in a school-sanctioned way. We are being supported, the students are being supported by administration. And so
you were surprised then by the administration's
to get this
jumping
message
on board
out and to achieve real change.
It was actually kind of crazy because great teacher, but Gottlieb would always come like with some kind of evangelical, like crazy ideas to us a lot of the time. And so when he came to us with this and he was like, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go speak to the principal, we kind of were all looking at each other. We were like, he's going to get fired.
I actually agree with you.
We really thought he was. Like, we didn't. So when we heard that, when he came back from that meeting that one day, and we heard that, like the whole, well, the principal, I guess, was in on board with everything. We were kind of amazed, like, at just how much, like, people are willing to do something about it if you just bring it to their attention.
And so did you then, when you heard that Mr. Gottlieb wasn't getting fired, did you put up your hand and say, I want to organize this? Or how did you get involved to this level?
He was my physics teacher. So he kind of brought it up in class and brought up this idea of starting a group like this, a climate change action group within the school and working towards these kind of things. And I've always been like a very environmental person. I love nature. I love all that. I'm vegetarian, like common hippie. But when I heard like this, and after my concern that I had been having over like the previous year about what was happening to the environment in the first place, I just kind of jumped on board.
And Chloe has turned into a real leader locally in this movement just over this summer. She is absolutely one of the leaders in this Kalamazoo Climate Coalition. You walk into these meetings with professors from Western Michigan University and business people and people who have been activists and with Citizens Climate Lobby for decades, and Chloe is sitting there at the table, and she sounds just as well-informed, and her ideas are clear and well thought out, and you can see from the reactions at the table that she is an important, invaluable member of that committee.
This seems like a moment where there's a groundswell in climate activism, not just globally, but locally. The Kalamazoo Climate Crisis Coalition, if I've got that right, is an umbrella group of local groups that have a stake in climate activism. I mean, you need groups to have an umbrella group, so that kind of implies that, you know, there have been a lot of folks working on this for a while here, but there still seems to be some kind of a snowball effect. Is that your perception?
I agree. I got the opportunity to meet with Denise Keel from Western Michigan University. She chairs the climate action group there, and she really recognized how all of this work was coalescing. There, like you just alluded to, there's been fantastic work going on for a long time. And Denise was the one with the insight that we need to come together and pool our resources and see if we can move forward together.
I also think just like bringing all these groups together, because obviously each individual group had their, in the past, has had their own like effect on trying to advocate for this kind of thing, and I think just bringing everyone together just kind of makes a bigger effect and like makes our group be seen as more of a bigger body that's trying to work for change, which helps us because then you have people coming from all different areas of the city or the township, and it just helps to have more representation of what Kalamazoo really is.
And Chloe, you've been active in planning for these Fridays for Future at Central, but also for a larger community-wide event that's happening on September 20th, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So on September 20th, which is a Friday, obviously, we're having basically a big, I don't know if I want to call it a strike. We're having a big, like,
an event.
An event, yeah. And so what we're planning to do is to have an event at Kalamazoo Central, and Western is doing their own thing. And then at the end of the day, we're going to all come together in Arcadia Park and
in downtown Kalamazoo.
Yeah. And we're going to have like speakers and videos and student speakers, obviously, too, just to inform the public and kind of just make a mass demonstration of this is who we are, this is what we're bring the awareness and have that as our starting ground to inform the public.
And that is part of a global day of action, again, inspired by Greta. But if you want to see an inspiring image, look up the map of Fridays for Future and all the locations around the world that will be demonstrating on that day. It's evidence that this is really starting, the environment is really starting to change.
You are talking about holding class outside on Fridays as part of these events.
I want to be sure that we are not just talking to ourselves. And so I know what my students can do, but we want to be visible to others. So if we're outside, everyone is welcome to come and listen to my students, listen to their presentations. We'll also be going out specifically talking to other schools, talking to local businesses, talking to community groups and organizations with specific goals of getting them involved and helping them figure out ways that they can be part of the solution, both locally and nationally.
Yeah, and I think it's just really helpful for the students because they get the best of both worlds, in which they are being able to protest school and contribute to this mass movement to bring awareness, but also they're not just sitting around. They're getting educated on new things every single day and learning more about what they're standing up for.
There's been a school of thought with climate change activism that it's important not to get too grim or doomy when you talk to people about this, and that if you feel very anguished or nervous, maybe you've got to keep that under wraps a little bit because it might scare people off. Do you subscribe to that school of thought?
No. I've gotten some kickback that I was going to scare people off, and we need to focus on the positive. We need to focus on solutions. We need to focus on there's still time, but there isn't. We need to speak plainly. We need to tell the truth. Before we can engender action, we need people to understand the honest situation.
Which is not looking
so great. The scientists
tell
us that we have 12 years to act, to change our behavior globally before the cascading effects of climate change will be irreversible.
We're kind of getting down to like 11 years.
And there was a report that really the next 18 months, some of the political decisions over the next 18 months will be critical. But if you went to the doctor and the doctor said, well, you know, at some point in the future, you might run into some problems, that for most of us would not encourage us, would not force us to change our diet or our exercise or other behaviors. On the other hand, if the doctor says, you know what, you really have problems right now, you are at risk, and if you do not change your behavior, then the odds are that you're going to have some massively unpleasant consequences, then we would start to think about changing behavior. So before we can do that, as a society, we need to be honest about the situation.
I really think we're past a point of leniency. Like, we can't just tell people anymore, oh, this is going to happen, but it's going to be okay because if we take these small steps. Like, we've been past that point, and we're slowly inching closer and closer to a point of no return. And so if inciting fear in people is the only thing that's going to get them to actually proceed with action, then that's what you have to do. Because if you just tell people something that's not going to scare them, just something that won't get them to do action, then they're just going to sit around and they're going to think in the back of their head, oh, this is scary, but someone else will deal with it. And that's not the mindset we can have, because if one person has that, then every other person is going to have that mindset and nothing's going to get done.
And we're all busy, and we all have our own lives, and we're all overwhelmed to the point of inaction by all of the frightening news that we hear. But this is the only issue that people should be talking about. If there were an asteroid that we knew was going to crash into the Earth, we would mobilize and we would figure it out. That's the kind of species that we are.
I think people also need to understand, You don't have to, when we say you need to start taking action and stuff, it doesn't mean you have to be the leader of the whole world and saving the world from climate change. Like, obviously we don't expect every single person to be that active, but you do what you can. You advocate for what you can, even if it's simple posts on social media. It's just getting that word out there and like inciting, or I mean informing the public that you have around you, and just saying this is a problem.
Talking about the issues with family, with neighbors, critically important. Being climate voters, also absolutely essential.
Getting your parents to be climate voters.
That's right. If you are young and can't vote yet, you can still influence elections, as we've seen time and time again. But you need to have your voice be heard, because the time for allowing the status quo needs to have ended.
How are you going to measure success from this year of unusual Fridays?
We want concrete, quantifiable successes. So we want Kalamazoo to declare a climate emergency. We want Kalamazoo to pledge to be 100% renewable by 2030 is our goal. We want to support the Citizens Climate Lobby of getting some legislation passed that would put a price on carbon. We want to get several local businesses, like we mentioned before, including Stryker and Pfizer, to pledge to source all of their energy from renewable sources in the near future. And we want to build an army of advocates, of informed citizens. You know, Dewey was an educational philosopher a long time ago, and he described John Dewey, the proper role of education as one that produced democratic citizens. And a democratic citizen is one who doesn't only participate in democracy as it is, but helps it evolve into what it could and should become. And that's what we're trying to do. There's never been a greater need for truly democratic citizens than now.
I think on top of that, a goal for me would just have to have kids in my own school just be informed on like what's happening. Because being that we're in like Kalamazoo is like a metro kind of area, and there's like a lot of urbanized communities, and there's a lot of kids who struggle with not having enough resources and stuff like that. So with what's happening with climate change and with all the crazy weather, like all the freezing cold days, the extremely hot days, kids don't have coats to deal with that kind of weather. Kids don't have air conditioning, and they struggle, and they don't understand why. They just pin it on like a socioeconomic problem. They feel like that's the only thing they can point it to. But I feel like informing them and being able to show them there is a way that you can change this and you can stand up for this. This doesn't have to be your life. And so they don't question like every day, like why this is happening. Like, I feel like that'd be a big goal for me.
Do you hear concern, worry, anguish from your peers about climate change?
Some individuals, but I think not as a whole, because as high school students, obviously we have a lot of other stresses that we are focusing on. And also we just, as peers, like as my peers all together, I don't think we're informed on it enough, because we're dealing with those other stresses and we're focusing on things like schools and extracurriculars, getting into college. So it's not our main concern right now, when it really should be.
I don't think your peer group is alone in that. That goes for adults as well. I think that even though people are beginning to talk more about the effects of climate change, and we've seen weather events, and Paris was just 109 degrees last month, and increased intensity of hurricanes and wildfires, that is just the tip of the iceberg. And people do not understand what is coming down the road. the UN IPCC.
Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change?
Correct. Has released several reports detailing future outcomes. And if we do not have some massive changes in policy, if we continue emitting greenhouse gases at the rate that we are, by 2050, when my children are my age, there will be hundreds of millions of deaths. There will be hundreds of millions of climate refugees wandering away from their homes from which they've been displaced, looking for safety, looking for shelter, looking for resources. There may well be coastal cities, huge cities that with massive populations that just need to relocate because the cities are inundated by water. So people do not understand yet what is coming so quickly towards us. And again, the first thing we need to do is make people more aware so that then they can understand that the only rational action is to change.
And I think the sad and like kind of frustrating part of it too is that the people who are in power, who have the real power to make those bills, make those changes, are the ones that are going to be the last affected by it. We already see these ripple effects and like this destruction happening not only in like third world countries, less developed countries, but in our own communities, like as I said, with individuals who don't have enough resources. But they're not the main voices of the people who can actually incite change. And so they're just forgotten about. And that's not okay just to push people to the side like that when they are going to be the first ones who are feeling the effects of what the people in power are doing.
You could say there are almost two prongs to it. We're already facing certainly some serious consequences from climate change that wouldn't be mitigated even if we shut down our carbon-based economy tomorrow. But this is about trying to ensure that we don't go over some kind of a cliff. Is that right?
If we met the goals laid out in the Paris Climate Accord, and currently no industrialized country is on track to meet those goals, in the United States controversially pulled out of that agreement in 2017. But let's say magically we all hit the goals laid out in the Paris Climate Agreement. The UN IPCC estimated that we would still hit 3.2 degrees Celsius of warming, which is almost 6 degrees Fahrenheit, of warming by the end of the century. And that will have massive consequences. Europe would be in a permanent state of drought. There will be large portions of the Earth that are uninhabitable. The type of consequences that people have only seen in, you know, movies about the post-apocalypse, and that's the reality of what is coming if we do not act.
I think, like what you said about the tipping point, I think that's our first concern right now, at least, is to avoid being there and get it to a point in which our carbon emissions are at net zero, so we do not hit that point. But I think once we get there, we're going to be looking to find the new sciences that are out, find the new ways to repair those damages and make not only a future on Earth that we can live on, but a future on Earth that like we are comfortable living on.
And new technologies will be part of the solution, certainly, but we have the technology right now. We have the solutions, and they're not all high tech. Things like educating women around the world will have a massive impact on climate change. Solar technology has come so far. The price performance of solar panels has improved by 90%. The price has fallen 90% in the past decade. Battery technologies are improving. Wind turbines are improving. There's a wonderful organization called drawdown.org, or you can see it at drawdown.org, and they outline 100 solutions to mitigate the effects of climate change. If we implemented those 100 solutions today, globally, we would be okay. We would still feel consequences of climate change, but we would set ourselves back on a sustainable path through which we as a human race could still flourish.
I think even simple things like in the way we eat, in the way we act as consumers, like we as, because we are such a, we are a capitalistic society and we are consumers, we throw a lot of waste away, and that does not help with like the, it makes us a very wasteful community, and that does not help with what is happening. So it's just like simple things that we can do on our own, like using all the food we have or changing the way we eat and to be more plant-based and avoid overconsumption of meat and stuff like that, just to make, like, because obviously, as I said, we don't expect everyone to be superheroes, but it's just the simple things you do in your life that are going to make a start.
When do you kick off the first Friday for Future at Central?
September 20th is a major date for us. That's the Global Day of Action. So there will be events going on, like we mentioned before, at Arcadia, here in Kalamazoo, and other communities all over the world. But at Kalamazoo Central High School, that's the day we've targeted to really roll this out, introduce the rest of the student body to the fantastic work that these students are already doing, start educating ourselves within the school, and then from there, we will recruit more activists.
I've heard some people suggest that action is a cure for despair. On the other hand, when action means being hard up against the realities of global climate change every day, I'm not sure that's always the case. I wondered what your experience was with that.
Chloe, how are you feeling about that?
I guess I don't really understand what you're asking.
Well, I'm wondering if taking action is soothing, if it makes you feel better, or if it's just hard to be looking at these facts all the time.
I mean, I think it feels better to know that I personally am doing something to help it, but I think also it's overwhelming and it can be scary because you do know that there are forces that are against you. But in the grand scheme of things, I truly believe that like what I'm doing and what my peers are doing is like helping to secure our future and the world's future, and just helping individuals in all aspects of life. So I think it's more of a positive feeling than it is one of fear.
And for me, it changes day to day. It is very tempting to disengage, to go and live my life with my family, with my three wonderful children, with my beautiful wife, and become insular, because the outside world is scary. And doing this work, you're faced every day with the feeling that you're screaming into the wind, that people just aren't hearing you. But I have to keep coming back to this work. I have vivid memories of those nights with my children when they're lying in bed and for whatever reason, they're scared. Bedtime is a scary time. And they say, "Papa, I'm scared." And I remember those nights lying in bed with them and telling them that no matter what, I would protect them. And I can't fathom 20 years from now, 30 years from now, looking back and having them say to me, "But you knew and you didn't do anything to stop it." And so as my, to keep my promise to them that I would protect them. And to do my job as an educator. I feel like it is my responsibility to do everything I can, even if it feels scary and hard.
Josh Gottlieb and Chloe Carlson, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It was great to be here.
Josh Gottlieb teaches physics at Kalamazoo Central High School. Chloe Carlson is a rising senior. They explained their plans for making Central, well, central to Kalamazoo's fight against climate change. You can subscribe to the West Southwest podcast on Apple and by searching Google Music. This is West Southwest. I'm Sevilla Mann.